Time to do the job. Time to do the job! Behold the jobber of jobbers. Daniel Jobber.
This is the Edmonton area's own D-Job, Danimal Daniel Jobber, here with the Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber, WWE Battlegrounds preview and prediction show. Battleground takes place this Sunday, and it is a SmackDown-branded pay-per-view, and this is actually a really difficult, important, just a major pay-per-view to predict, because typically, being the last pay-per-view before SummerSlam, when you're predicting Battleground, you're almost predicting aspects of the main card for SummerSlam and even beyond, you know, maybe some of the results from SummerSlam, because typically this is the last chance for the WWE to set up the roster on a pay-per-view setting and the matchups for SummerSlam and for the future after SummerSlam's over. So very, very major pay-per-view to predict. And so I'm going to be drawing on what I expect to see at SummerSlam and beyond in some of the predictions I make as part of my reasoning for why this prediction is going to be the way it is. And of course, the trickiest part will be the tag team division, because both the Raw and SmackDown tag team divisions are such a mess right now. There's so few tag teams and certainly not that many good tag teams. And it's really hard to know what's going to happen with these tag teams because, I don't know, there just isn't a lot of direction. There isn't a lot of comp. If this tag team beats this tag team, there isn't another tag team that is ready to step up and take their place. So it's like, it's so hard to know who should beat who because there's just not enough overall tag teams that are in a high level to create good matchups. I mean, there's several, you know, bad job out tag teams, if you want to put it that way, in both the SmackDown and Raw divisions. Like, for example, in SmackDown, we have The Ascension. But there just isn't a lot of top-notch tag teams. And they're breaking up tag teams as we speak. And, of course, some of the best tag teams are also on NXT. And they're needed in NXT, so it's unlikely they're going to get called up anytime soon. Probably not till WrestleMania or beyond WrestleMania is how it usually is done. And like I said, tag teams split up. We just had, of course, even from NXT, we just had Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, DIY, split up. So, and then, of course, in the main roster, there's talks of tag teams splitting up, too. Like of course, there's always talks of when the Hardys are going to go single. The Hype Bros, are they going to split up and go single? Because they had a little bit of tension recently. And, of course, who did split up? The American Alpha. Because now Jason Jordan is Kurt Angle's illegitimate son. Oh, it's true. It's damn true. And Chad Gable is, you know, trying to take it all in and acting like, you know, didn't expect it, didn't see it coming. And he's on the SmackDown roster. And of course, Jason Jordan moved over to the Raw roster to join his old man. So that's a big tag team and it leaves a big hole in the division. And of course, is anybody else who split up recently that we were kind of relying on? I think there's another one that split up too. But of course they broke up the Vaudevillains and they cut Simon Gotch. So yeah, Aiden English is a singles competitor now. So even one of the jobbing out tag teams is gone. So just the tag team division is really, really difficult to predict. So I'm gonna make one solid prediction that I think is the best likely thing to happen, but I'm also going to draw on a few possibilities when I talk about the tag team division, different directions they could go, because it is such an unclear direction with the SmackDown tag team division. And I'm not going to be talking about the Raw division. This is a SmackDown pay-per-view, and I'm going to keep it exclusive to the SmackDown. And all the matches, if I talk about anything at SummerSlam or beyond, is going to be the SmackDown matchups. And I haven't heard any word of any crossover matchups between SmackDown and Raw. So even John Cena, we have to assume, is going to be in a SmackDown match, because even though they call him a free agent, there's no speculation of him taking on a Raw competitor in Battleground. So anyways, enough pre-ground, you want to say that for battleground, let's get to the card itself. First off, the kickoff match is supposed to be Ty Dillinger, the perfect 10-10-10 versus Aiden English, the WWE singer. And, well, you know, Aiden English is pretty much just there to look good losing. So, Ty Dillinger, perfect 10, should get the victory here. I don't see any reason why Aiden English would win unless they want to drag this feud on through SmackDown Live and give Aiden English this victory and then have Ty Dillinger win some more. I guess they could do it that way, but my prediction is Ty Dillinger. I don't see this matchup going much longer term, especially, you know, I'm sure, hopefully they'll find some kind of a multi-man match or something for Ty Dillinger to get involved in at SummerSlam so he has something to do during the card. Fortunately, the SummerSlam does suffer because it doesn't have a Andre the Giant Battle Royal or anything like that. So I bet they couldn't come up with some kind of a Battle Royal to spice it up and to get some of the guys into the roster, but or from the roster into it. But anyways, I'm going to pick Ty Dillinger. And then the main card, the first tag team match is, and this one is, I think it's speculated, but it seems to make sense. I think it's going to happen. The Fashion Police are going to go to the ring and meet the people who destroyed their studio. And last time they met the Ascension, beat the Ascension, but the Ascension says, we had nothing to do with your studio. So it's like there was a misleading information and the team that was supposed to go there that destroyed the studio didn't come. So that was kind of a swerve there. My thoughts are that it was the Colognes that were supposed to be this position. But yeah, there's another tag team. The Colognes are recently, in all the reports I've heard, the Colognes asked for their release and are no longer part of the WWE. If they are, they're no longer wanting to be active competitors until they're released. The Epico and Primo, formerly known as the Shining Stars, formerly known as Los Matadores, they are no longer in the WWE. And my thought is maybe they might have been the ones who were supposed to have initially destroyed the studio because they're heels and it makes sense. But now they're gone, and there's no more heel tag teams that, besides the Ascension, that could fill this role in the SmackDown roster. So it's like, who? So I'm picking the Hype Bros to be this team. I don't know why the Hype Bros would do this. I mean, they're supposed to be baby faces, although, of course, they had that tension where Mojo Rawley sort of attacked Zack Ryder. So who knows what direction they're taking with them. In fact, they look like they're even splitting up, but who knows. So I think it's the Hype Bros. I'm going to pick them to stay together. Probably stay babyface, although that's the thing about the Fashion Police. A lot of people like them. They're kind of entertaining. Are they babyfaces or are they heels? Taking on the Ascension, of course, they were babyfaces, but what's going to happen if they take on the Hype Bros, who are supposed to be babyfaces as well? Are they going to play the heel role, or the Hype Bros going to start acting heelish? I don't know. I think the Hype Bros should probably play baby faces because they are still quite a fan favorite. Zack Ryder generally doesn't get a lot of boos. He's generally quite cheered for. And, of course, Mojo Rawley's always, you know, the, you're not hyped, we're so hyped. He's not hyped, I'm so hyped. You know, the fans seem to dig that. So I can see the Fashion Police. They're kind of the, you know, are they good guys? Are they bad guys? Maybe they're just D guys. I don't know. But I see the Fashion Police probably playing a heel in this match. And for this reason, I'm going to pick the Hype Bros to win. And actually, now that's where I'll get to that in a moment. I'm not going to speculate how that's going to lead into SummerSlam just yet. So anyways, I have the Hype Bros. And then, of course, the Tag Team Championship match is the Usos defending against the New Day. All three members, two members, speculation on this. But either way, this is for the SmackDown, of course, Tag Team Championship held by the Usos. And now here's a real good puzzle. The Usos are heels. The New Day are baby faces. Is the SmackDown Championship at SummerSlam going to be a heel team challenging for the title or a babyface team challenging for the title? There isn't a lot of teams around to do this. So some possible teams that could do it. Obviously, the Hype Bros could be challenging for the tag team title, and they could be babyfaces, they could be heels. And of course, another thought in my head is, whatever happened to the former Wyatt members, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper? Luke Harper's supposed to be a babyface, Eric Rowan's supposed to be a heel, but they're really not going anywhere. Could they maybe bring them back together as a heel tag team, and maybe use them to face a babyface tag team at SummerSlam? I mean, I'd like to see them get back together, and I think they could be a pretty good heel tag team. Or, I mean, I guess they could even be babyface for that matter. But and of course, if they're going to be a heel tag team, then and they're going to challenge for the tag team title, which I don't know, seems far fetched. Then of course the New Day would have to win to have a babyface versus a heel matchup. Or the Hype Bros, if they're baby faces, if they turn heel, obviously they'd be taking on the New Day, so the New Day would win. But I don't see either of those two teams turning heel. So I really think the team that's going to challenge for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship is going to be a baby face. And my thoughts are it's going to be the Hype Bros. And then, therefore, that makes the Usos retaining. And this just makes sense because the Usos are entertaining. They're doing a really good job. The New Day had a huge run with the one tag team championship back, you know, not too long ago. They really don't need to be champions to be the New Day. So I mean, they could even be hosts at SummerSlam and do nothing else but entertain people, and they'd be just fine. So I think the Usos will go into SummerSlam as the heel tag team champions. And that's where my prediction for the Fashion Police versus the Hype Bros. I see the Hype Bros winning as a babyface tag team and finally getting that title shot they were supposed to get before Zack Ryder got hurt against the Usos. So I'm predicting for SummerSlam, the Usos defending against the Hype Bros. And of course, this leaves the New Day, if they do end up in a match, either against the Fashion Police, or as I said, maybe they could bring back Eric Rowan and Luke Harper and have them against the New Day, or maybe just have the New Day not be in a tag team match and have the Fashion Police face even the Ascension they could face on the kickoff show, but they could also face Rowan and Harper if they decide to bring them back together. But there's huge speculation in the tag team division. There just isn't a lot of tag teams to carry on to give two SmackDown tag team matches at SummerSlam. And really, there should be two tag team championship or tag team matches at SummerSlam because it's a big card. I mean, it's a 3-4 hour show, 4 hours, I believe. And there's a kickoff show, which is usually an hour or two. So SummerSlam is a big, long deal. You think there would be two SmackDown tag team matches. But either way, the one match, if they're only going to do one, would be the Usos versus the Hype Bros, in my opinion. I don't see the New Day getting another shot. I think three shots in a row and then trying to call that the SummerSlam tag team main event would be a little stale. I mean, it's not impossible. The New Day could get a third title shot against the Usos, maybe even win it, you know, to make the fans happy at SummerSlam. But my official prediction is the Hype Bros beating the Fashion Police, the Usos beating the New Day, and the Usos pinning the title against the Hype Bros. And I could see the Hype Bros, just to get the fans something to cheer about, winning the tag team title at SummerSlam. So, yeah, I could easily see the Hype Bros leaving SummerSlam as tag team champions, even if they're going to break up shortly afterwards. Give the fans one last moment. Zack Ryder deserves another title. I mean, he held the Intercontinental title for one day. He deserves another title. And I think that would be good for him and Mojo Rawley to hold that title, even for a short time, before you break him up and do whatever you're going to do. I mean, Mojo Rawley might even retire at some point. He's been around for quite a while. And Zack Ryder, too, I guess, for that matter. But he could potentially have some good years left. But anyways, that's the tag team division. Very cloudy. I think the best thing they could probably do is bring back Eric Rowan and Luke Harper as a heel tag team or even babyface. But who knows? There's just not a lot of tag teams. And, of course, the Ascension is not doing anything else. And they're really the only other wildcard tag team sitting there that I can think of. Am I missing any SmackDown Live tag team roster teams? If I am, please let me know in comments or in a tweet or something. I can't think of any other SmackDown Live tag teams. So, anyways, that is the tag team division. Then we have Shinsuke Nakamura versus Baron Corbin. And this is very interesting because, once again, we need to know. You got to think Shinsuke Nakamura is going to have a high-profile match. And Baron Corbin being Money in the Bank could have a high-profile match or may not, because with Money in the Bank, I guess I'm still speculating he may cash in. Anyways, I'll get more to that later. So in this match, because Baron Corbin has so many things he could do and so many people he could face, especially if he's going to cash in very soon after, I have Shinsuke Nakamura beating him, but a DQ finish. I don't think they want to have a clean finish against Baron Corbin and further weaken their Money in the Bank holder. I think they want to start building him up. So I could see him getting upset and, you know, and hitting Shinsuke Nakamura, beating him up maybe a little bit at Battleground. So I'm picking Shinsuke Nakamura by disqualification finish. As I said in my notes, there's really nothing to lose for Baron Corbin. And like I said, I'll be telling what I see for his future being Money in the Bank very shortly here. Next match, we have AJ Styles defending the U.S. Championship versus Kevin Owens. And there was speculation whether this was even going to happen because, you know, there was talk that maybe the house show where AJ Styles beat Kevin Owens for the U.S. Championship might be the match, might have taken the place of the match at Battleground. But last I heard, this match is still going to take place, the rematch at Battleground. So there's no way Kevin Owens is winning the title back. They're not going to have him win it at a house show. When AJ Styles win it at a house show just to lose it to Kevin Owens. And, of course, that leads to speculation regarding who AJ Styles will defend the title against at SummerSlam. And I got an interesting prediction about that very shortly here I'm going to get into. John Cena versus Rusev in the flag match. John Cena is, in all probability, is going to go on to face Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam. So John Cena's got to win this match, and for the good old US of A, win the flag match against Rusev. And of course, more on that in a minute too. And of course, then we have Natalya Neidhart versus Charlotte, Lana, Becky Lynch, and Tamina, the five-way women match for the women's number one contender, or for the SmackDown Women's Championship, to face Naomi at SummerSlam. And obviously the winner of this has to be the one who's going to face Naomi. So I'm going to leave my prediction on this match till the end, because that's a whole topic in itself leading into SummerSlam. So just quickly, of course, the big match, Jinder Mahal defending the WWE Championship against Randy Orton in a Punjabi prison match. Well, if Jinder Mahal is going to face John Cena, which I think is the most likely matchup, America versus India, Jinder Mahal's got to win this match. So, and because it's Punjabi prison, you got to think that he's going to use the Punjabi prison in some way to his advantage to retain the title. So whether he wins or he gets a DQ finish, I guess there is no DQ finish. So Jinder Mahal has to find a way to escape the Punjabi prison. So I see Jinder Mahal finding some way to use the prison to his advantage and escape the Punjabi prison to retain the WWE Championship. And of course, the reason is that he's going to face John Cena in a U.S. versus India match of some sort at SummerSlam. And now the speculation, of course, now is Baron Corbin going to cash in right at SummerSlam? I mean, obviously we'd have to predict John Cena is going to beat Jinder Mahal in the end, because, I mean, Jinder Mahal is probably time to drop the title. I mean, if he carries it past SummerSlam, who knows, but one would have to speculate that John Cena, I mean, that would be a great time for him to win his record-beating championship to pass Ric Flair. And he'd hold it for a short time because we have, of course, Baron Corbin in the wings waiting to cash in. But if that were to happen, would Baron Corbin cash in that night? Would he cash in SmackDown Live the next 2 nights later? Or would he wait till the next pay-per-view for SmackDown to cash in? And there's huge speculation on that. Should they give John Cena a day or a moment to enjoy the record? Should they give him a day so that they can have a celebration on SmackDown Live, maybe, and then have Baron Corbin come in and cash in? Or should they give him a month to be champion and actually have one title defense under his belt before Baron Corbin cashes in? And, I mean, really, any of those three are fine. I could easily see him cashing in at SummerSlam. But that giving John Cena only a 30-second celebration for the 18th title championship I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be the next SmackDown Live that Jinder Mahal is going to, or keep saying Jinder Mahal, that Baron Corbin's going to cash in. So I see John Cena winning the title at SummerSlam and retaining till the next SmackDown Live. And of course, some other interesting matches because of these predictions. Kevin Owens, I have him going on to face Shinsuke Nakamura. Why not? That's a high-profile match for both of them. Oh, pardon me, sorry, Randy Orton. Because Randy Orton, after not winning the title at Battleground, is going to need something to do. So why not him versus Kevin Owens? Randy Orton's kind of a pretty good babyface when he needs to be, and Kevin Owens is that vicious heel that's down on his luck. Why not have them face each other? Shinsuke Nakamura actually have facing Rusev, because Rusev will just come off a match at losing to the flag match to John Cena. Why not have a Bulgaria versus Japan match? I think that would be kind of cool, and that would be a great way for Shinsuke Nakamura to get a huge win at SummerSlam, make the fans happy, and Rusev can continue to do the job as a Russian brute or Bulgarian brute who doesn't win big profile matches all that often. And this leaves my very interesting prediction. Now, of course, I mentioned AJ Styles winning the U.S. Championship. Well, in watching SmackDown Live this week, I was very impressed with Mike Kanellis and Maria Kanellis' method of winning their match against Sami Zayn. And of course, Sami Zayn unfortunately doesn't have much to do at Battleground, and probably, I don't know if he has much to do at SummerSlam either at this point, but very impressive. And it reminded me a little bit of The Miz and Maryse, but it also had a little bit, I don't know, it just teased my memory of the Honky Tonk Man with Jimmy Hart, of how he had that great Intercontinental title reign with Jimmy Hart's help and finding dusty ways to win all his matches or to not lose the title in any of his matches. I could really see them pushing Mike Kanellis to the U.S. Championship really early and having him and Maria become very much like The Miz and Maryse on Raw and defending the U.S. Championship as a tandem, with Maria always, you know, getting in the way and causing, you know, DQ finishes or whatever to keep him with the title. So I actually have a prediction that after AJ Styles wins against Kevin Owens, I actually predict that Mike Kanellis might actually come in and Marie Kanellis and attack AJ Styles, setting up this feud that's going to lead into a U.S. title match at SummerSlam. So my bold little prediction is Mike Kanellis, Maria Kanellis actually attacking AJ Styles after his big U.S. championship victory and going on to face them at SummerSlam for the U.S. title, stealing a victory, of course, over AJ Styles as well, and going on to onto a lengthy U.S. title reign as his and her tandem, you know, championship holding like Miz and Maryse. So that's my bold little prediction regarding the U.S. championship. And, of course, I do have one more match to predict still, and that is the women's championship. And I just wanted to leave it to last. I didn't want it to be lost in the shuffle. I've been watching the women, especially on the last SmackDown Live. We have Charlotte still being a babyface with Becky Lynch. And, of course, that would be a great time to have Charlotte turn heel right before Battleground. But she didn't. They had their match with Becky Lynch and Charlotte. The match ended with Becky Lynch with the victory, I do believe. And then in come the heels. Natalia, I mean. She came in from behind. It was actually Tamina Snuka and Lana who came in from the front and started the attack. So you got to think, if those three are heels still, that Charlotte and Becky Lynch are going to stay babyfaces going into the Fatal 5-Way. And if that's the case, why would you have Charlotte or Becky Lynch as babyfaces facing Naomi for the SmackDown Tag Women's Championship at SummerSlam? A matchup with two baby faces doesn't usually work. Even Charlotte, I don't think, would make any sense. So, I mean, yeah, easy to say Charlotte should win the match, should go on to face Naomi, but that doesn't really make a lot of sense. And should Lana? No, Lana's had two title matches already. If she had a third one, the fans would be like, what the heck? Like, why is she getting all these title matches? We haven't even seen her perform well yet. And then, of course, Tamina Snuka. Tamina Snuka's, I think she had one title match one time, but never really been anybody special worth pushing in that regard. That leaves Natalya Neidhart, who's nearing the end of her career, many times over has gone above and beyond to be there for the WWE, and you know, I said, you better give me a title match one of these days, and she gets the occasional one, but has never actually won one. So, I mean, why not have her win the Fatal 5-Way and go on to face Naomi at SummerSlam? I mean, I don't honestly see Natalya winning. It would be great if she would. But I think Naomi's going to keep the title beyond SummerSlam because they've made the new glow belt for her. I can't see them throwing it all away by having Natalya win it and they have to get rid of the glow belt right away. So I don't honestly think anybody who faces Naomi at SummerSlam is going to win anyway. So why not Natalya? And if you watch that last match, Natalya, even though she was the one who kind of led the attack on Charlotte and Becky Lynch, she was the one who got beat down in the end, and it was actually Lana and Tamina Snuka who actually looked the best out of those five in that, and that usually means they're not going to be the ones to win. And you know, so it would either be Becky Lynch, Charlotte, or Natalya. And as I mentioned, being Becky Lynch and Charlotte as baby faces, that leaves Natalya to win the Fatal 5-Way and go on to face Naomi. So that is my official prediction for that match, is Natalya winning the Fatal 5-Way, and she will be the SmackDown Live challenger facing Naomi for the SmackDown Live Women's Championship. So anyways, just to recap my predictions, because it's kind of a mishmash there. I have Ty Dillinger over Aiden English in the kickoff match. I have the Fashion Police losing to the Hype Bros. Hype Bros over the Fashion Police. I have the Usos successfully defending the Tag Team Championship versus the New Day. I have Shinsuke Nakamura beating Baron Corbin with a DQ finish. Baron Corbin getting upset and attacking Shinsuke Nakamura, getting disqualified. I have AJ Styles beating Kevin Owens for the U.S. to defend the U.S. Championship, and Mike Kanellis coming in and interfering, setting up a rivalry that leads into SummerSlam. I have John Cena beating Rusev in the flag match, leading on to him facing Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam. I have Jinder Mahal, of course, defending the WWE Championship against Randy Orton in the Punjabi Prison match, so that he will go into SummerSlam as the WWE Champion. And I have Natalya Neidhart winning the Fatal 5-Way to become the number one contender to face Naomi at SummerSlam for the Women's Championship. So those are my predictions. And as I mentioned in SummerSlam, I could actually see Mike Kanellis and Maria Kanellis pulling off the upset for the U.S. Championship. I mean, really, you could do a lot with the U.S. Championship. You could have Shinsuke Nakamura carry it. You could have Baron Corbin carry it because he's Mr. Money in the Bank. That wouldn't make any sense. Randy Orton's too good for it. At least he's been champion, too many champions for too long. You know, who else is going to carry the U.S. Championship besides AJ Styles? And, I mean, AJ should be going on into bigger and better things too, so why not have Mike Kanellis upset him for the championship at SummerSlam? Why not? So anyways, that is my predictions of how this card is going to win to SummerSlam. But as I mentioned, they could still bring back the former Wyatt members, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, as a heel tag team. And they could become the team that'll face the Fashion Police, I guess. Although it would be kind of weird for them to bring them back as heels and bring them back as guys facing the Fashion Police. And then, of course, what are the Hype Bros? It makes the most sense for the Hype Bros to have some crazy storyline reason why babyfaces would destroy the Fashion Police's studio. And the Fashion Police play the heel. The Hype Bros win the match against the Fashion Police and go on to face the Usos for the Tag Team Championship at SummerSlam. So, I hope it all makes sense. I hope you got that all. There's a lot of crazy predictions in that, but I know Battleground is a huge influential pay-per-view setting up the SummerSlam and beyond pay-per-views. So you got to expect this card is going to be crazy and exciting. I don't see any title changes, as you mentioned. I didn't predict any title changes at SummerSlam, at Battleground, just like I predicted at Great Balls of Fire, and there wasn't any title changes then too. Predicting that again with Battleground, just a bunch of huge victories, setting up new rivalries leading into SummerSlam. I'm predicting just a great card, lots of good matches. All the great members of the SmackDown roster, I think they have a great chance to outdo themselves and maybe get back their momentum that they lost when they had their roster raped by Raw in the Superstar Shakeup. I think this is going to be a real dandy. I think it's going to outdo Great Balls of Fire, and that was a good show to begin with. This could really be an A show, even without a title change, if they play their cards right on this one. So, hope you're as excited about Battleground as I am. Looking forward to one on Sunday. I haven't watched anyone else's predictions yet, so I hope... I'm anxious to see predictions of Aaron Rift and the ODQ boys. I want to see what my boy Delix Man's predictions are and see how they compare. I'm excited to see what they think, if they have any ideas similar to mine. And just see if any of my predictions, as crazy as they are, come true, because I think there's some really good direction there that the WWE could use to really create some excitement going into SummerSlam. So, what can you say? Battleground, man. One of the best battlegrounds in years, in my opinion. So anyways, I'm going to leave it at that. That's my preview and prediction show. Thank you for watching the Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber WWE Battleground Preview and Prediction Show. Once again, this is the Edmonton area's D-Job, Danimal Daniel Jobber. And this cast is brought to you on my YouTube channel, as well as on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network in podcast form. Of course, on my YouTube channel, Daniel Jobber is in video form. If you're watching in video form, that's probably where it is. And I hope you'll follow me on Twitter at Daniel Jobber, capital D, capital J. On Instagram, Danimal Daniel Jobber, all lowercase. I'm always fun on Instagram. Of course, my YouTube videos are always on Daniel Jobber, capital D, capital J, if they're generally wrestling related these days. And of course, if you really want to drop me an email, danimaldanieljobber@gmail.com is perfectly fine. Hope you check out my website, danimaldanieljobber.ca, where you can catch videos like this, all my fun stuff, my cruiserweight coverage, including my cruiserweight power rankings, and a chance to buy great, no, Edmonton SPN merchandise, including the Danimal Daniel Jobber Champion merchandise, like this great t-shirt. Of course, you can also go to whatamaneuver.net, who are the ones who sell the merchandise directly, and look up Edmonton SPN. But on my website, danieldanieljobber.ca, there's a link to buy this great merchandise. And I hope, of course, I have a soft spot for you to choose my personal Danimal Daniel Jobber Champion merchandise. But of course, if you love the Edmonton SPN, buy their merchandise too, because they kind of keep me going here. And I hope you'll follow the Edmonton SPN at Edmonton SPN, capital E, capital S, capital P, capital N on Twitter. And on Instagram, follow Mike the Ref, who's the head of Instagram, or head of Edmonton SPN, under Mike EDM, all lowercase letters, Instagram. And of course, you can check out the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network, Edmonton SPN, on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play Music, and the amazing, awesome, incredible cellular app, Podbean. And of course, when you realize how great we are and you love us, and you're going to fall in love with us, man, we're the best. I hope you will buy the merchandise, like I said, at whatamaneuver.net or on danimaldanieljobber.ca. Follow the link to the merchandise. We have hoodies. We have t-shirts in various sizes and colors. We have shirts that are specially designed for women and children. And we even have baby onesies. Start your kids off right as little jobbers or little fans of the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. And if you like the entertainment we bring to the Edmonton area, hope you'll give us likes, subscriptions, whatever, depending on how you're enjoying our content. But let us know you love it and you want to see more. Leave me comments on my Discuss accounts options on my website if you go to danieldanieljobber.ca. Just let us know, man, because to enjoy our great content in silence, man, that ain't right. And, of course, hopefully, whenever you check out our content, you'll always watch it from beginning to end, because that's how the YouTube model works now. If you watch the content from beginning to end, you actually help the wrestling industry shows get more of a following and get more recognition from YouTube as being top-notch entertainment. That's how the module works. So, but anyways, I hope you'll enjoy Battleground this weekend. Hope you'll check out my WWE Cruiserweight Report, which comes out in a couple of days, and just everything that the Edmonton Sports Podcast never puts out. And just hope you have a wonderful weekend, and just I'll wish you all the best. Jobber out.
Time to do the job. Time to do the job! Behold the jobber of jobbers. Daniel Jobber. Ha 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 ha.